Work out. I was looking at my sermon. I was like, this is kind of short this morning, but then I see I'm getting up here at 12, so it's probably good for you that it's short today. How many of you have seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? Anybody seen that? I didn't realize it came out in 2001, so if you haven't seen it, you must not watch kids' movies much, but 2001, that's so long ago. Some of you weren't even born in 2001, right? It's crazy. Well, anyone who sees this movie knows that doors are a big part of it, right? What are the doors in Monsters, Inc.? What are they for?
Wait, that's terrifying.
So, basically, this alternate reality, Monsteropolis, has an energy crisis, and the way they get energy is from scaring little kids, all right? So, and what happens over the course of the movie, though, is they find that bringing joy or laughter brings 10 times the energy of scaring someone, right? But there's one scene in it where the two monsters have finally realized this and they want to stop this scaring. They're trying to get this little girl that's brought this all about, their realization that joy is better than fear. And they're trying to get her back to the door that leads to her room. And you see in this picture, there's this huge warehouse of doors, and it's overwhelming how many doors there are. And going through these doors can go basically anywhere. And if you watch that chase scene, it's quite funny. They're suddenly in Tahiti, and then they're in Siberia, and they're running all over the place, going through these doors and back and forth. And we've been talking this last year about doors, right? Open doors. And so I thought of this movie. I was like, what? You know. And when I had to kind of sub in for Jade, I wasn't ready to preach on Jude, and I didn't want to take his thunder of what he was going to do, so he'll cover that later at another time. But we were wrapping up the school year, and I was just praying and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, review. Review is a good thing. Review. So we've been talking this whole year about the open doors of what? Yes, yes. Open doors of what? Service, you get an A! Yay! Don't you high school grads wish all the finals that were that easy? Don't you wish they were that easy? Well, maybe for some of you it has been. I know sometimes they give you all the answers ahead of time, so a matter of just looking at them and you're good. But so we've been talking about service and various aspects of it. Does anybody remember what we talked about last September? The open door of service through what? Ooh, this is a harder test, I see. Evangelism, right? We talked about evangelism and the five thresholds. Ooh, does anybody remember the five thresholds? What's the first one? Trust, building trust. So for those of you that weren't here for that, the five thresholds is this idea that I've seen through InterVarsity. They've seen a lot of postmodernists, which is the era we live in, many of them come to faith, and there's five kind of stages of that they've seen over and over that tend to happen. First, someone that is not a believer, they build trust with someone that is a believer. They start to break down those walls of mistrust. Second, there's curiosity. And then there's openness to change. And then there is active seeking out the Lord. And then the last one is helping that person to come into the kingdom of God. So we talked about those five thresholds, and we were challenging each other, and we were thinking about how am I doing at that? How am I doing at building trust with non-believers? How am I doing at dealing with someone that's curious, not shoving things down their throat, but helping them to provoke that curiosity? And someone that's maybe open to change, am I beginning to share with them? And if someone's a seeker, the different questions that are in each of those stages. And then we went on to, I believe John talked about Colossians. What did he talk about in Colossians? Anybody remember?
Do I remember?
Does John remember? So I've been doing my homework. I'm ready for the test today, so I will give you the answers. Like that good professor that gives you all the answers, and you go, thank you so much. So he's talking about the open doors of service through prayer. Do you remember that? And he talked about how our prayer, and anyone here that is a prayer warrior, maybe you can remember a prayer warrior. Do you know any prayer warriors in your life? And how great a service they are to others. I think of my mother. That's one person I know. I think she learned it when my brother went off to West Point. And she, so maybe those of you that have high school graduates, you're going to learn this, moms and dads. you suddenly have not as much control, not as much influence in their life, and you go, wow, this is a weird feeling. And my mom felt that, and she started realizing, well, I can pray. I can pray for him. I hope he takes what we've taught him all this high school years, and he is a man of God, but it's out of my control now, so I will pray. And so she serves us through prayer, and you can do that as well. Then we talked over Advent about these open doors of service that in the Christmas story, right? The various responses of the characters of the Christmas story to the opportunities before them. And I won't go through each of those, but if you want to go back, we do have a archive. You can look up those things on our website and listen to whatever you'd like. And then now since January, we have been covering Philippians, right? Philippians, the book. And what is the big theme of Philippians that I keep hammering? Joy in what? Service, right. The open door of joy in service. So we will be having some more this summer, but I thought this is a good point. We're all thinking about the school year wrapping up. Many of us are thinking about our high school career wrapping up or other things wrapping up. So, I know Robert and John and Judea will be continuing their series a little bit more in depth this summer. And do you remember what Robert talked about? The open door of the gifts of the Spirit, right? How God pours out His Spirit, and that empowers us to serve and understanding that. So they're going to be digging more into those. So I've taken a rather lengthy review time, and we're going to look again at Revelation 3, 7 through 13. That was where we started, and that's also where I would like us to wrap this up. So we, as we ponder this idea of the open door service and review it, when I was looking at the rest of this passage, I thought it was interesting that their open door then leads to this idea of them being established in the temple of God and of this idea of forever in His presence. It says at the end of that they will never leave if they overcome. And so this whole idea of service, and I see this elsewhere in Scripture, but I felt like it was really emphasized in this passage as well, that when we serve God and serve others in the name of Christ, and because of our joy, not our fear, but because of the joy we have to serve, it is a great open door for us to fellowship and relationship with God. Now, His grace has paved the way for us. It's not by works that we're saved, but it's when we are serving God, when we're interested in what He's interested in, that we have this fellowship. The other parts of Scripture talking about the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, the fellowship of what is God concerned with? He's concerned with us reaching this world. He's concerned with us expanding the kingdom of God, which is those who have come to know the grace of God and become adopted into His family. So when we're concerned with that and we're about that and about advancing that, there is a fellowship that we can have with God that is sweet and that we don't know in any other way. And so the thought here of Revelation 3, 7 through 13 is this: go through the open door to fellowship with God. Go through the open door to fellowship with God. And that's through service to Him and for Him. So I'm going to read that for us. If you want to turn there, Revelation 3, 7 through 13. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut." Excuse me. "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now this is Jesus talking to the churches of that day, but those messages to those different churches are also messages to us to take to heart. And as I look at this passage, I see three ways that we can go through this door of service to fellowship with God. So the first is keep God's word with about patient endurance. Second is hold fast to what you have in God. And finally, conquer through God's strength. So let's look at that first one. In verse 10, it says this, keep God's word about patient endurance. So the word of God here is patient endurance. Patient endurance. And anyone who has served others and served God, you know that it is not an immediate gratification thing. Rather than like a vending machine, it is more like planting a garden, right? We like vending machines. You put your money in, pull the lever, push the button, type the code, and then out comes what you want, right? But God doesn't always work that way, does he? It's more like a gardener who, you know, my daughter wanted us to plant a garden, and I think of the daunting task of cutting a big square in the grass, getting all that. Where do I put all that junk? Then of setting things up and planting seeds, and then of weeding and watering and keeping rabbits and deer away. There's a lot of work that goes before you see the fruit. And service is more of that sort of thing rather than a vending machine. And so it involves patient endurance. And I love this quote by William Carey, the father of modern missions. He writes this, I can plod. That is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. This idea of plodding. Now, plod sometimes has a negative connotation for many of us. We think of a person carrying a heavy load, going Eeyore-ishly, going, I gotta carry this plodding load. You know, and that is not what perseverance truly is. Plodding is staying with something even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And what this passage is saying, that those who've heard God's word about patient endurance, he is going to do a mighty work in them. And that idea of service. It's interesting, I have a devotional on Philippians, which we've just gone through. And what is the title of it, you might ask? It says, stand firm. So one of the other emphases of Philippians is the idea of standing firm. And it's interesting that Philippians, which is a book all about joy and also about joy in service, that a big theme there is to what? Stand firm. What is standing firm? Persevering. So keep God's word about patient endurance. That's one way that we go through this open door towards fellowship with God. Secondly, hold fast to what you have in God. And that, you might say, well, that sounds kind of similar. Hold fast, stand firm, patient endurance. But this is a little bit different emphasis in verse 11. In life, there's a tendency towards drift or mission creep. Have you ever heard that idea, mission creep? You see this in organizations. They may start out with this mission, and if they don't firmly establish what their mission is, over time it will change as leadership changes, as other things change. And we've seen this in colleges over the year. They start off, did you know Harvard was a seminary in its roots? Is Harvard a very Christian institution these days? Not so much. It's had a mission drift, right, over time. Maybe at first imperceptibly, but the longer you go in that mission drift, you come to a completely different destination. Those of you, maybe you've flown planes. Is anyone a plane flyer here? Or maybe you've navigated on the water. You know, if you just change the degree slightly, it may not matter at first, but in the end, you end up in a far different destination. Hebrews 12 speaks of this. It says, let us fix our eyes on what? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And what the writer of Hebrews is speaking of here is a race. And you go towards what your eyes are fixed on. Right? So what Jesus is saying here, hold fast to what you know about God. There's many things in this world that will desire to steal your focus and get you off track. So keep your focus. Hold fast to that focus. Keep it laser focused on the most important thing, which is Christ. And that will bring about that relationship and that fellowship by keeping your focus in the right place. And then lastly here in verse 12, it talks about those who conquer. Now it's interesting because he's talking about conquering. How was the Philadelphian church here described earlier? Look at verse 8. I know your works. And he goes on in the second sentence. I know that you have but what? Little strength. Wow. So these that have little strength, then it's saying those who conquer. And we often think of a conqueror like this Arnold Schwarzenegger type of guy. Oh, I've got muscles. And the gladiator. But he's speaking here of those who have little strength. And those who stand firm. And those who persevere. And what it is it's those who rely on the strength of God. Conquer through God's strength, number three. So it's not our strength. It's not by our own might that we conquer. It's not by our own might that we're able to serve, to go that long way, to persevere. Ultimately, at the bottom of it all is relying on God's strength. Anyone here who's served someone long term knows that the end of your strength can come, right? I've talked to many of you that have been caregivers for someone that's been desperately ill. And it is not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon. And there are probably days where you feel like, I don't have a thing left to give. And that sort of service forces one to rely on the strength of God. We recently celebrated Mother's Day. Mothers, raise your hands, right? Is your own strength enough to be a mother? Are there days you say, God help, right? It's only the Lord's strength that allows you to persevere when things are tough. We are only able to conquer through God's strength. So keeping these three things in mind, these are the three, as this passage seems to indicate, that help us to go through that door of fellowship with God through service. We are able to do it as we keep his word about patient endurance, patiently waiting on him, patiently plodding. We hold fast. We keep our focus on the Lord, and what really matters is him. And lastly, we rely on his strength to conquer. So like that movie Monsters, Inc., what's going to motivate us to serve is not fear, but the joy of the Lord. You know, I was just talking to someone the other day, and sometimes people seek to motivate congregations by fear, by urgency, by these other things. But I would say what's 10 times more powerful than that to motivate you to serve is the joy of fellowship with God, the joy of fellowship you have with others when you're serving side by side. That is the real power. That is the real energy that will keep you going in doing this. And so as you have the choice of what doors this week to go through, I encourage you to go through those doors of joy of service, those opportunities God brings you to bless others, to serve him, and that will bring a deep sense of fellowship as a result. That byproduct of fellowship with the Lord will really bless you, and it will bless others in the long run. So let me close in prayer today, and then we will go to talk this through and process this together at Circle Church. Lord, thank you for how we've been able to focus this year on this idea of service. And I pray that, I know it's changed my perspective on how to serve and why to serve and the results of serving. And I pray for each of us that we would do it with the right heart, with the right motive, the right intent, and also the right outcome. That you would just power us up because that joy we get by serving others and serving you, that it would no longer be a drudgery, that it wouldn't be out of fear or guilt or shame or duty, but it would be out of the great, great joy we have because we've been so blessed by you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.